Matt Stepp. It's our first podcast in the palatial new Dave Campbell's Texas Football Studio. A plus to F minus. What do you think?
F minus, but I plan on christening it later.
Step and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep Greg Tepper.
And I am the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber in the inaugural episode from the new Dave Campbell's Texas Football mothership.
It's pretty nice. Not going to lie. It's very nice. It has the new car smell to it still.
It does. Yeah. Pickle hasn't sullied it yet.
No, she hasn't with her all of her antics.
Oh, I know. All that stuff. Did you know
she's out of control?
Did you
Ashley Pickle is out of control.
I think we all agree with that. Did you know that I'm officiating her wedding?
I did know that.
So
she's gonna be really mad. I don't think I'm gonna be able to make it.
I gotta come up with bits.
I think I'm gonna be in Canada. I think I have something going on in Canada that same day. She's gonna be so pissed.
You have better offers.
Well,
Pickle's wedding.
You know, I love Pickle, but I love my wife more.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
I guarantee you at some point when she finds this out, she's going to shove me against the wall.
Yeah, she is. Absolutely. Yeah. And she's been working out, too.
Yeah.
So she's tough. Yeah. This is your April off-season edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, Matt Stepp and I are going to really want to close out coaching change season. Talk about a few of the lingering changes.
There are some. There may be one. I'm hoping there's one that breaks during the show.
Oh, now that is a tease.
I'm hoping. Yeah, fingers crossed.
That is a tease that might not pay off.
May not. I've got a text. I'm like, come on, answer the text. Let's go.
And then, back half of the show, we're going to play buy or sell. I've got some questions for Matt Stepp ahead of the 2024 Texas high school football season.
You know, I'm starting to play my schedule.
Oh, I have a question about that.
I know. My week one schedule. Here's a little breaking news. Would you like to hear my week one Texas high school football schedule?
Not right now. I want you to keep your powder dry and make people listen to the end of the podcast. They have to listen to the ads in the middle of it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's exactly right.
Sorry, my bad. My bad.
Anyway, this is...
I was ready.
Coming up here, I'm ready. Half the show. But we will
football
start
blue
this,
balls over
but
here.
Matthew, we will start, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week, presented for the first time in this palatial studio by the greatness of Country Meats. Countrymeats.com. Use the promo code STEP10 to get 10% off your first order. That's promo code STEPP10 at checkout. They make fundraising delicious and fun.
So delicious, so fun, and it's profitable.
And profitable.
Use that STEP10, get that 10% off.
Get
boom,
that
profits.
Money. Get that money.
Don't use it to buy Bitcoin. It's not financial advice.
Country Meats. Get that money.
Yeah.
Countrymeats.com. Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week.
Buy some Doge, maybe.
There are 7 UIL 11-man Texas high school football teams who have won the exact same number of games in each of the last 3 seasons. So 2021, 2022, and 2023, they won the same number of games.
Okay.
How many can you name? There's a couple of layups here because you can think of teams that haven't won a game in 3 years.
Yeah. Let's go with one who has not submitted a questionnaire yet, Monte Alto.
Okay. Monte Alto, that is one. Now, I want to be very clear about this because that feels like you're calling them out. We had incorrect information.
We were 2 coaches.
So apparently what happened was that
pull back the curtain a little bit for
was
them.
That for Monte Alto, the Blue Devils, we had the not just the coach who didn't not we did not have the information of the coach who coached last year.
Yeah.
We did not even have the information of the coach who was previous to him.
Yes. So Monte Alto had a coach, Gene Garza, 2022. Mm-hmm. Apparently Gene Garza left in August of 2023. And I guess in our drunken week one stupor, we didn't realize that Monte Alto had changed coaches. So we're emailing Gene Garza, and the emails aren't bouncing. He's probably wondering, why are these people texting me? I haven't been the coach there for several months. So then we find out who the coach was for 2023, and we call him. Like, hey, coach, you know, we didn't have your information. We had a little mix-up. We really need y'all's questionnaire. Mm-hmm. You know, we're kind of running up against it. And he goes, oh, yeah, I resigned a couple of days ago.
So we've been chasing ghosts in Monte Alto for a full year, basically.
Yeah.
So that is one, Monte Alto.
Yes.
Who else has won the premium podcast? The same number of games in each of the last three seasons.
You don't mean to expose the other school who hasn't turned their questionnaire in yet.
Don't do that, please.
Okay.
Actually, I can tell you these have they've done it the last four seasons, all these teams. So I can even zoom out a little bit more. There are three more teams that haven't won a game.
Monte Alto for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody with a longer losing streak than Monte Alto right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of them. It's not El Paso Socorro.
It is not, because we were at that game.
Yeah, we were at a game they won.
What a flex.
Is Duncanville on that list? I think Duncanville's got 15 Duncanville, the last 3 years, right?
Duncanville is not, and I'll tell you why.
They went 14-2 in 2021, didn't they?
They went 13, and they only won 10 games in 2021. Is that right?
No way.
No. 2020 they did. But then they won 13 games.
Are we going 4 years or
15
years?
Games? Well, we can do 3 years, but same thing. They won 13 games in 2022, okay. 2021, 15 games in 2022, and then 14 games in 2023. Okay. I think they had a game canceled. Oh, remember they only played
9 games.
Right.
Is North Shore on that list? North Shore seems to be stuck at 15. They've had several 15 wins.
They are not. Oh, yes, they have. North Shore has won 15 in a row. They've done that.
3 years in a row, 15?
Yeah. But okay. So we're looking for 4 years in a row, to be clear.
Oh, we're doing four.
I misphrased it. Yes, because
4 years.
I'm bad at this. I'll give you one more guess, because we got to move on.
It's not Gunner. Timpson?
It's not Timpson. Timpson won 14, their last 4 years, 2020, 14, 2021, 12, 2022, 14, and then last year, of course, 16. Yeah, that was a bad guess, because Simpson won 16 games last year.
Oh, yeah.
The answers
all right.
of the same number of wins for each of the last four seasons. La Jolla Juarez Lincoln has not won a game in 4 years.
Yeah.
Fort Worth Diamond Hill Jarvis has not won a game in 4 years. Progresso has not won a game in 4 years.
Mighty Red Ants.
And then you've got, I think, much more rare. You've got three teams that have won games and have won the exact same number of games each of the last three seasons. Yeah. Fort Bend Elkins has won 2 games each of the last four seasons.
Okay.
Cy Ridge has won 2 games each of the last four seasons. And I would submit to you, Matthew, the most interesting and perhaps most consistent team in Texas, the Crane Golden Cranes, who have won 8 games in each of the last four seasons.
They've done it under multiple coaches, too.
Yes. And they won 9 the year before that.
Yeah.
So
very consistent for the Golden Cranes.
Anyway, there you go. 8 wins in each of the last four.
Former post-head coach Michael Pittman is the head coach there at Crane.
That's right.
We met Coach Pittman in Brownwood for the first time.
We did. When they beat Valley View for the first period of the state championship.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a good question.
Yeah, and that game was like finished like 17-7. It was real low scoring. Valley View couldn't move the ball.
No.
Post was all over them defensively. Anyway, there it is, your Texas high school ball fun fact of the week. All right, Matthew, let's get into the meat, the meat stick of this.
That's right.
This show,
Sponsored by Country Meats meat stick of this show.
So let's.
Am I allowed to have water in here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Don't spill it. Pickle will get real mad. You want to talk about
water?
If you spill it, she will get real mad.
I get if I spill it on electronic equipment or something.
Yeah, okay.
Wing is the largest residential drone delivery provider in the world, delivering to your home in less than 30 minutes. Order using an app just like other popular delivery services, and Wing's automated drone takes care of the rest. It's fast, safe, and sustainable, and it's now delivering to parts of Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. You can learn more at wing.com/texasfootball. Again, that's wing.com/texasfootball.
Let's get to a couple of coaching changes. We're going to round it. This is a lot of what today is going to be is like coaching change recaps.
Putting a bow on it. The carousel is not stopped, but it has slowed significantly.
Oh, it 100% has slowed significantly.
A couple of coaching changes today, actually. All knee came open today.
In fact, we're looking for a few of them. So we'll kind of go in a little bit of reverse order. We'll start around April 1. And so, although I do want to make sure we mention this one. This came out right before April hit. There were a couple of them.
Okay.
Let's talk about Pilot Point.
Sure.
Because Pilot Point, this is a pretty big job here that Pilot Point has
tradition-rich program.
Very tradition-rich program with a very passionate fan base.
I would say so.
A passionate fan base. And they have hired a familiar name. They've hired Chad Worrell to be their next head coach, leaving Burleson after 1 year. And this was... You want to talk about a coaching change that set the internet aflame? On both sides.
Hot sports opinions.
There were some hot sports opinions. I think that there were some Pilot Point fans who were pretty excited about making this coaching change and getting a guy who's got state championship pedigree like Chad Worrell. Of course, he won the title at Brock. And there were some Burleson fans who were real bent out of shape.
They were more than happy to see him go.
Yes.
I just think it was a bad fit.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you gave Kevin Ozy, the AD in Burleson ISD, a little bit of truth serum, he would tell you that looking back, it was a poor fit. First off, I think from a scheme standpoint, you know, Burleson goes from John Kitna, who was he wasn't air raid, but he was very wide open. I'd say a wide open pro style offense, going to throw it around a lot. And Chad Worrell's, I formation, two tight ends, going to throw the ball six times a game at best, and it just didn't go well. The personnel just didn't fit the scheme. Burleson struggled really bad. They went 1-9 last year. It was not good. And then you get the additional nut kick for Burleson of UIL realignment. I mean, 3-5A Division II is an absolute nightmare of a district. So you get that. And I think Worrell is just, they've had an exodus of players that have left. It's just not been good at Burleson. And I think by the end of February, Worrell was just, I honestly think if he hadn't got the Pilot Point job, he would have retired.
Really? Wow.
I think he would have retired. There was no chance he was coming back to Burleson next year.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. It just wasn't a good fit. Yeah. And I think he told me, Pilot Point's going to be his last job. This is his alma mater. This is his last job. He's going to – I think it's personal for him to not only to erase kind of the bad taste in his mouth from last year at Burleson, but I think to turn – Pilot Point's been in disarray. You talk about a school district in disarray. Pilot Point's athletic program and school district has been in disarray. And I think it's personal for him to try to go – before he retires, to go to Pilot Point – and get that thing turned around and get that program back to where he believes it should be.
Elsewhere, let's go down to Greater San Antonio area. How about the – it has been eventful, I would say, for the past few years at New Braunfels Canyon.
Three head coaches in 3 years.
And three pretty high-profile coaches in 3 years.
Yeah, and really, and even Travis Bush. I think Travis Bush was there 2 years. Like, this is – you had – Joe Lepsis, Travis Bush, and then
Nate
Bush,
Leonard.
Bush leaves in 2020, very, very late 2022. I think I was literally at the Alamo Dome at a playoff game when he called and told me he was taking UTRGV in December of 2022. Nate Leonard gets promoted last year and does a good job at Canyon.
I thought he did a really good job.
A good job. And then Leonard's alma mater calls. McKinney opens up and,
Mama's calling.
He comes home to McKinney and takes over at McKinney, leaving New Braunfels Canyon open again. And I thought Comal ISD has had two head coaching openings this year, and I think they've hit a home run with both.
I agree.
Getting Sam Parker from Tom Bob Memorial to go to Canyon Lake. And then you hire Cy Ranch coach Sean McAuliffe to come back to San Antonio to Canyon. McAuliffe's probably best known for his tenure there at Converse Judson. Had a good run at Cy Ranch. Never really could get over that playoff. They got into the playoffs and were a consistent 7-8 win team a year, but just had tough first-round matchups, couldn't get out. So I think McAuliffe is back home in San Antonio. I think he'll do a good job. Canyon's not a broken program. They just kind of have had a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
But they've – district's going to be tough. They're in a tough district. They're back in Region 4, but 13-5A Division 1 is going to be tough. You got Smithson Valley in there. You got, San Antonio J is in there. It's a good district. It's a tough district in Region 4.
Yeah, most certainly. A couple of high-profile programs' offensive coordinators getting head coaches' jobs in the DFW area, if I can make that as tortured as possible. Birdville has made a hire. They have hired South Lake Carroll offensive coordinator Chris Smith to be their next head coach. And
great hire.
That is a really we're going to talk about this in a little bit. This has been a really interesting offseason for well thought of offensive coordinators to get a shot at a big time coaching job.
Smith is known as one of the better O-line kind of gurus in Texas. Now, if you have a knock against him, it's that he was the offensive coordinator at South Lake, but really in title only because you know Riley was calling the offense.
Not giving up the cards.
But Smith is a offensive line guru, and he also coached at Carthage, so he's worked under a couple of amazing offensive minds. He's a offensive line guru, and he's got connections to the athletic director, Barry Norton, from his time in East Texas when Barry Norton was at Texas High. For those of you who don't know, Scott Surratt, before getting the Carthage job, was an assistant coach under Barry Norton at Texas High. He was the offensive coordinator at Texas High. So there is some connections there. I think Smith is taking over a Birdville program that struggled a little bit last year, completely missed the playoffs in a district that wasn't that tough. Most people thought Birdville would be in the mix, and they stumbled all the way to fifth. They're in a much tougher district now with the likes of Aledo, Denton Ryan, and Richland. But I think Smith is a real savvy hire by Birdville ISD.
The hashtag was Let Peterman Cook at Duncanville. Mm-hmm. Todd Peterman took over as offensive coordinator at Duncanville and helped lead them to back-to-back state championships as their offensive coordinator. He will now be back as a head coach, as the head coach at Lake Worth.
Back in Tarrant County.
I will tell you this. Lake Worth ain't afraid to swing.
That's the second year in a row. So Jerry Prieto comes to Lake Worth last year from Crosby. He goes back to that area to coach at Dayton. By the way, Dayton and Crosby week one.
Ooh.
That's juicy. Goes back to the Houston area, and Lake Worth says, you know what? We're going to hire Todd Peterman. Last time we got a coach who coached in a state championship game but didn't win it, so now we're going to hire a guy who not only won a state championship as a head coach but as a two-time state champion offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And Peterman, I think he's hired 3 or 4 Duncanville coaches on his staff at Lake Worth.
Oh, wow.
He's hired several.
He's going poaching?
There's a lot of turnover at Duncanville on the coaching staff. So I think this is, for Peterman, I think this is, he lives in Tarrant County. He's close to home. I think it was a very attractive fit for him. And I expect, it may take Peterman a year or two to kind of get things going, but I expect Lake Worth to be a force. You know, they're just a couple of years removed from going 10-3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not that far off. They were, even last year in a down year, they were still 6-5. I expect Peterman to have Lake Worth cooking. The Bullfrogs will be need to be accounted for in 4A Division I in Northwest Tarrant County.
One of the more, I'll file this under, one of the more underappreciated coaches in the Houston area has retired. Jersey Village head coach David Snockhouse has retired after 27 years.
That was institution.
With JV, and perhaps most remarkably, a career record of 143 wins and 143 losses.
Consistent, baby.
I'm telling you.
Consistency.
But yeah, I mean, Jersey Village, like, you know.
He's had some good years. He took Jersey Village to a state semifinal once back in 98, lost to Duncanville. Had a couple of 10-win seasons mixed in there. It's been, Jersey Village was one of those teams that would either, you know, be 10-2 or 1-9. They would kind of fluctuate. And part of that is the growth in Cy Fair. You know, his tenure at Cy Fair ISD basically went from like 4 or 5 high schools to 12 during his time, and a lot of times your attendance zones get changed up and mixed up. So the second long tenured head coach in Cy Fair ISD to step down, to retire.
West Mesquite. It's been a little messy. They Frank Sandoval steps down just before spring break. I would say that, though, if you are hiring late in the game, as they were, you can do a lot worse than hiring Steven Jackson from Seagaville.
I think they hit a home run here. I'm a big Steven Jackson guy. I think he comes from the Chris Ross tree. He also was an offensive coordinator at Duncanville for a year. But I think if you take his offensive lineage and roots, a lot of it goes back to Chris Ross. He did a heck of a job at Seagaville.
He did.
I'm really intrigued.
That's a tough gig.
Really intrigued to see what he does You know, he went 8-3 or 7-4 his final year at Sigaville. I was at a Sigaville game last year, and they put it on Woodrow Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good Dallas ISD team, and they put it on him. I'm interested to see. He's going to have a lot more resources to work with at West Mesquite. And, you know, people – West Mesquite's, you know, there's been times when West Mesquite has been really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Overton was there.
Yeah.
They were playing 3-4 rounds deep. Their attendance zone pulls into the city of Dallas. They're the only Mesquite ISD school, I believe, that has part of their attendance zone in the city of Dallas. So they go into Pleasant Grove, and that's all their territory. They can keep their kids. They got a great draw on realignment.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a really favorable district. I think West Mesquite's going to be one of those real hipster picks in 2024. Calling that now.
Perhaps tune into the May episode of Tap and Step for sleepers.
Yeah, they're going to be. I'm a big Steven Jackson guy, and I think he's going to do a heck of a job there with the Wranglers.
One of the most high profile jobs changes this offseason went down in Corpus Christi with Cal Allen. Mm-hmm. Steve Campbell retiring after 3 years at the helm, taking over for Phil Danaher.
Was it three or two? I think it was just two years. Yeah.
The job was like open for the first time in like
It was legit open. They got a search firm and they opened it up.
And they have hired Charlie Reeve, the head coach from Victoria East, to be their next head coach. And a guy who's got, I mean, you can't doubt the bloodlines. I mean,
no.
The Reeve family.
He comes from a coaching mm-hmm. family. There's some ball coaching dudes in that family.
He's stepping into a position. Yeah. We'll hand out some coaching change awards here coming up in a moment. But he is stepping into a position of
pressure cooker.
Yeah,
Cal Allen, the expectations are high at Cal Allen, and they expect to win. Now, you know, the one that he did a great job at Victoria East last year. First year in the program, first year there, goes 8-4. Heck of a job in year one. But that's his only year of head coaching experience. Mm-hmm. He has literally 1 year of head coaching experience. So that's the knock against him when you're talking about looking at Cal Allen. That's probably the one knock, is that he doesn't have the head coaching experience. But he's got great bloodlines. He's been an assistant in a lot of great programs. Mm-hmm. He's got college pedigree coaching at the college level. I think he'll do a good job. I think it's going to take him. There's going to be an adjustment period because Cal Allen's, if you're used to that ground and pound offense for Cal Allen, that's not Charlie Reeve. Not saying he's going to sit there and chunk it around 40, 50 times a game, but they're going to be in the spread. They're going to be a little more wide open. They're probably going to throw it 20 times a game, though.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period, I think, early as they try to, figure out that this new scheme. You're going from one extreme to not the other extreme, but you're going, pretty far over the other direction from what they were running.
It's
going
to be different, most certainly, as Charlie Reeve takes over there at Cal Allen. Back to the San Antonio real quick. San Antonio Brandeis, one of the perennial,
good teams in
San Antonio, is open. Charles Bruce has been promoted within Northside ISD to an assistant athletic director job. This is a really big late opening in San Antonio.
Yeah. The timing of this tells me it's probably going to be internal hire. And Northside ISD does have a history of hiring internally. Now, Brandeis is probably the exception. They went out and got Jeff Fleener a few years ago. And then Charles Bruce came from the outside. He was at Wagner before coming to Brandeis. So if there is one school in Northside ISD that's not afraid to go outside, it's Brandeis. I think the timing of this one, though, would indicate an internal hire.
And finally, we'll round it all out with a little bit of small school action. Merkel, our new friend Brooke, our chief content officer, has family in Merkel.
Badger.
And they got to be fired up for bringing in Snyder head coach Wes Wood to be their next head coach.
So Merkel opened up when Coach Cates went to – by the way, we only have one Torres and one Cates that's head coach now. Last year we had three Torreses and three Cates.
Wow.
Yeah, so the coaching brother fraternity is strong.
This economy.
Yeah, it's tough. But we still have two Reeves. We got Charlie and Travis.
Yeah.
And we still have three Woodards. The Woodards are now
the power of the power.
West, Cleburne, and Rio Vista.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So,
Westwood.
Yeah, sorry. I went on a tangent about coaching brothers. It's been a long day at work.
This is why you
president
guys,
business.
This is why you pay for
tired.
This podcast, folks.
So, this is interesting because Wes Wood, actually, he had a year left on his contract. He actually got non-renewed. So he actually got out of Snyder basically a year early.
Kind of beat the posse.
Yeah. And I think it's a great hire for Merkel. Mm-hmm. Westwood, I think very highly of Westwood. He took Snyder to a regional semifinal in 2021. Snyder's had a lot of turnover and just kind of upheaval in the administration. I think Merkel's got a little more stable. He was raving about the administration there and how awesome the experience was. He actually got hired on the day of the eclipse. So in the middle of his interview, him and the superintendent and like one of the other people, one of the other administrators, they go out. They're interviewing right next. I guess the administration building is next to the junior high, which is the old high school. And they go outside during the eclipse in the middle of the interview, stop the interview, and go outside with their glasses on and watch the eclipse with the kids. And he was like, this is a really cool place. He said it reminded him of home. He's from Muleshoe.
Yeah, no, they get eclipses all the time in Muleshoe. I mean,
Muleshoe, home of the eclipses.
Anyway, there's some coaching change news. You can find all of it at texasfootball.com. But this is, Matthew, kind of the end of the coaching change cycle. There will be a couple hither and yon. Monty Alto might change again. I hope not.
North Forney, still waiting for North Forney.
North Forney might get hired. There's
expect
a couple of
a
openings.
Big name at North Forney.
But largely, I would say that this is going to close the book on coaching change season. There will always be one or two in May.
Yeah, it'll be a trickle now.
Yeah, it'll be a real trickle. Yeah. But as far as like the flood of them, it's over. Sure. And so what I want to do is I want to hand out the Teppan Steppies, okay. the some coaching change season awards.
Season.
Okay.
S-Z-N.
We'll start with this question.
Okay.
In one word, the 2024 coaching change season was...
calm.
Okay.
Comparatively calm.
Especially in a realignment year.
Correct. It was... It's picked up late, but, man, February... January, February, pretty slow.
Are we going to finish under 200?
It's going to be close.
I mean...
I think in May. And that's shocking for a realignment year.
Normally you kind of pencil in 250, I think.
Especially in DFW, it was really slow this year. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we've had so much upheaval in DFW the past... 2-3 years.
I think this is one of the things I was doing a piece. I'm working on a piece for the magazine, and you for recruiting, and you can see all the COVID waivers like cycling out because the numbers are up. And I wonder if there's a similar thing in coaching changes of like there was this like mania right after COVID where it's like we either waited to make a coaching change or we figured out we want to make a coaching change, and there was all this flurry, and now it's like
there's a settling going on.
Yeah, settling.
I think we'll next year we'll probably see a more normal year for a non-realignment year, and then I think 2026 we'll probably get a big realignment bump. Yeah, for a realignment year, relatively quiet.
I would agree with that. I think it's been pretty.
There were very few just like whoa,
yeah, exactly.
Coaching changes.
And now I'm going to make you pick one because our second award, the biggest surprise of coaching change season, Math Step.
For me, it's Shadow Creek and Brad Butler retiring.
That is a shocker
because of his first off, Brad Butler's not an old guy.
No,
I mean he has plenty of coaching left in him if he ever wants to get back in. That's the first thing. Second thing is Shadow Creek is loaded next year. And you want to talk about another team that I'm really watching next year, Shadow Creek. Not really a sleeper because they've been good, but man, let me tell you, Shadow Creek is loaded next year. They also got a transfer quarterback in, JoJo Stewart from Fort Bend Hightower. It's going to make Shadow Creek is going to be a problem. So I'm surprised that he left this year because I think Shadow Creek has a really good shot to make a deep run this year. So that was the biggest surprise. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, that one does, like, as far as like it kind of ticks all the boxes of like big names, a big name program, and a lot of like you know, a lot of the you've got a guy taking over that program that they're going to be good this year in a major metro area. I think that one is going to be a surprise. I'll just go out on a limb and I'll just say that I think Todd Dodge coming back is a big surprise for some people.
For some people, not for me,
not for you because you're an insider.
Well,
but
I'll tell you this: I mean,
the man retired.
Yeah, so I think Todd Dodge. He's been itching to get back in for a little while. He called me, you know, last year and was like, these are kind of my parameters. If something pops in these parameters, I'm interested. And a couple of things popped, just wasn't the right fit. So I mean, when Lovejoy opened up, I think we said in our Slack, Todd Dodge.
Yeah.
That job has got Todd Dodge written all over it. And, yeah, makes sense.
I would also, an honorable mention to the Flying Torreses as as Mark Torres once again follows his brothers out of El Paso.
He's the last one to leave, and he's the only one as head coach.
He's going to turn off the lights on the way out.
Because Ruben is no longer at Marlin. He went to Neiman Forest as the OC. Mm-hmm. And then Matt, just recently, last week, left Sharpstown, Houston. And I think is going to take an assistant coaching job at Klein Kane, if memory serves. So.
All right. Let's go. Our next award. First time coach to watch. So we're not talking about a guy, any of these guys who took a first time coach. I mean, of somebody who their next game.
They're undefeated as a head coach.
Correct.
They're also winless.
Winless as a head coach. Give me a name that you're watching.
Scott Rich at Nederland.
I totally agree.
Because the blueprint is very similar to Nederland's arch nemesis, P&G. Mm-hmm. They hire a guy from the Gary Joseph tree. Been successful. Nederland's kind of underachieved recently. Can he come in? Because people are going to be watching because they're going to be like, well, you know, Jeff Joseph did it. Why can't he do it? Now, Nederland's not quite – P&G wasn't a bad program when Jeff Joseph took over. I think the year before they have gone to the third round of the playoffs under Brandon Faircloth. Nederland's struggled the past few years. So I think the learning curve's a little bit steeper, but I'm really interested to see what he does. Because let me tell you, if he can get Nederland going, that 5A Division II, Region II is going to be – it's already
nasty.
5A Division II, this is kind of an over – we'll talk about this at preview time. The last couple of years, 5A Division II has been kind of boring. It's pretty much been SOC and P&G for the most part.
Yeah, I think we've tried to like imagine the kind of teams that can beat SOC, and nobody's been able to do it until P&G did it in the title game. Like, we remember we were super high on Melissa.
Yeah,
and Lovejoy.
I am so excited about 5A Division II next year. Mm-hmm. I think it is loaded with good. There are really good teams that are not going to be in the top 10 next year. 5A Division II is going to be a absolute meat grinder.
And again, I promise you, August is coming. You'll have all the preview episodes of Step and Step. I will also say, here's a spoiler. I think that the regions are more balanced than people think. And I know that there's people who are kind of side-eyeing Region 3. I think Region 3 is better than people think.
It is.
There's a number of teams there, so keep an eye on that. That's coming on a couple episodes of Teppin. So that'll be Teppin Step episode 7 million or something. Mine, I mentioned this on TFT, Drew Colvin taking over at Royce City. Mm-hmm. Andrew Colvin, the Rockwall offensive coordinator, taking over there at Royce City. David Petroff, basically, he got promoted to assistant athletic director. One would have to imagine that he got to have a say in who gets and goes, hey, there's a guy down the road.
He's got like 8 miles on the other side of fate.
Yeah.
Let's just call him.
Yeah, why don't we call him? His team's putting up 50 points a game.
Yeah.
Why don't we do that? I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. Like, they're going to put up some points, and I think that that is going to make them really interesting to watch. Because, look, if you are – because he was offensive coordinator for Trey Brooks, who himself was an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So if you're an offensive coordinator's offensive coordinator, you know something about scoring points.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what
you know. Andrew Colvin was on the same staff at West Mesquite as Marcus Shavers, Kyle Ward, and Corey Jordan. Corey Jordan, who's now at UTSA.
That is a fun fact.
That was a heck of a coaching staff.
My goodness. All right, next up, two more. Coach with the most pressure to win in year one. Maybe we already talked about him.
I think Todd Dodge is under some pressure.
Oh.
I think there's pressure. Lovejoy, that place has expectations. They've been really good the past 3 years under Chris Ross. And they're thinking, we're bringing in the best coach out there. We're bringing in this guy who's won a ton of state championships. We're not expecting a rebuilding year. Mm-hmm. We expect out of the chute to compete for the regional title.
And they were good last year. You know,
it was the regional final last year.
Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to cheat because I got two. Joe Gillespie at Midway.
Mm-hmm.
Just a name thing. Like, I think people are going to recognize.
I was the defensive coordinator in the national championship game.
Absolutely.
2 years ago.
And now you're coming in, taking over there at Midway, and that is another program that it's in need of a jolt. Mm-hmm. And here's a guy who I think there's big expectation because it's a big name. And then there's one more. Talk, and we haven't talked a ton about it, but Mark Smith at San Angelo Central. Mm-hmm. Central, it has been a minute. The glory days seem like a faded memory.
Remember when San Angelo Central and Allen played?
Remember they hosted Allen?
That was unbelievable. What a crazy atmosphere that was.
The
The Angry Orange have struggled.
They have struggled.
Yeah.
And I think that there is, again, another guy with a name. He's a former head coach, and he was an analyst.
He's been in the college game for a while.
He was
OU last year.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was an on-field mm-hmm. coach at Arkansas and Colorado.
I think he is going to be expected to come in and get this thing going in the right direction, especially in, here's another little bit of a spoiler, I think a manageable little Southwest Conference this year.
Yes.
I think there are playoff spots to be had.
There's
for the
questions
Angry
Orange. For everyone.
Every team.
Yeah, even Midland Legacy, mm-hmm. who was the clear best team in that district mm-hmm. last year, has question marks.
They're
graduating
questions.
A bona fide stud quarterback.
I think missing the playoffs would be considered a pretty severe disappointment there in the first year. So there's that. And finally, Matthew, your most underrated hire. Who is the one that nobody's talking about that you're going to be like, this is my pick to
And
click.
I think no one's talking about it because it happened relatively early in the offseason. Mm-hmm. For me, it's Ty Taylor at Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
And a close second, you may mention my second. I won't mention it because if you don't mention it, I'll mention mm-hmm. it. But I have one other one that's on top of my mind. But Ty Taylor at Jefferson. Jefferson is a program that is loaded with talent year in and year out. Kind of known out in East Texas as kind of a team that just never plays all the way up to their paper.
They really aren't. They do feel like always the bridesmaid.
Yeah, and so I think Ty Taylor coming in from Pleasant Grove, kind of that similar energy. No one's Josh Gibson, but
no,
a similar energy and a similar vibe. You know, Ty Taylor, to me, strikes me as a very vibes-based coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be good for Jefferson, and I think he's going to come in and get that thing not turned around because they've been good, but I think he's poised to take Jefferson to the next level.
I'm
planning on talking to him in a couple of weeks at the Kilgore 7-on-7.
Well, what a treat. I can't wait.
Put a microphone in his face and ask him the hard questions.
I can't wait. I've got a couple. But I'll narrow it down to two because I'm the producer of this show and I can do whatever I want. One of them, I'm very interested to see what Mike Waldy does at Groveton.
Okay,
that is a guy who's got some bona fides. He's done some big things before. He's been a head coach of a variety of different places. I'm interested to see. He was most recently Brian's offensive coordinator. I want to see what he does back in that job. But my pick to click, and I've been screaming it from the rooftops for anybody who will listen. Folks, Jeremy Jenkins taking over at East Bernard is going to be a big deal.
That was not my pick. My other pick. My other pick was James Reyes at Palestine.
That's my other one. Those are, yeah. James Reyes. I have a small man crush on James Reyes. I think what he did at Lumberton is so mm-hmm. underrated. Mm-hmm. Lumberton was a bad program.
You see, they got a quarterback move in, too.
Did they really?
He hired Daniel Price as his OC, the head coach at Early, mm. who happens to have a son who's a sophomore and a really good quarterback.
Yes, James Reyes is taking
over. Jeremy Jenkins. Sorry, Coach Jenkins.
Jeremy Jenkins, a guy who kind of led Harmony to that really surprising state semifinal run.
Followed it up with a great year last year.
And then another great
10-3
year.
Last year.
They've been really consistently very good in a takeover at East Bernard, which I think there's going to be maybe a few more resources there. And I think, you know, again, a scheme shift.
Yeah.
But
East Bernard, to their credit, had slowly started kind of shifting away a couple of years ago. They kind of were getting in. I was talking to some coaches down there in their district. I talked to Coach Lucio at Tidehaven mm-hmm. specifically about this. And he said they weren't really a true slot wing tee anymore. They were still running some of it, but they were also getting into some gun and mm-hmm. running some kind of power. So he doesn't think that the learning curve will be quite as steep, but it still is a mentality change
mm-hmm.
under Jenkins. I think there is going to be a scheme change, but I think the learning curve is not going to be quite as steep as, say, Cal Allen, who I don't know when the last time Cal Allen's gotten in the shotgun. It's been a while, probably.
It has been. Aaron Babineau and Cameron Yeo as well. Honorable mention for that one. I think
former DeSoto defensive coordinator.
He's going to do big work. So anyway, that kind of closes out coaching change season. We'll probably have like two or three that we talk about next time. But
yeah, there'll be a couple that happen.
All right, Matthew. Let's round this bad boy out here on this podcast we've been going for a million years.
How long are we going for?
35 minutes, 37
That's
minutes.
It? Okay, we're doing great. We're usually an hour. We're cruising, man.
I do have to get to a Bananas game tonight.
Okay.
The Fighting Bananas have a game.
Okay. What time? 6 o'clock?
Yeah, we're in a little bit of a skid. Okay. Hank's a Saturday player. Like the midweek games are tough for him. It's tough for him to get up.
The bright lights of the weekend.
He's a prime time player. Yeah. And it's like, what we got to work on is that consistency of like, hey, every game matters in the standings.
Every game counts for the Bananas.
Every AB, yeah. Exactly.
Get on up with Dark and Bold from Community Coffee. Come on. Look for it at your local grocery or communitycoffee.com.
We are now working on the 2024 summer edition of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. You have written how many capsules?
I'm done. I wrote my last capsule today. 439.
Oh, God.
I wrote 439.
I will write three.
But as the person who sends me the capsules, you know that's not a lie. That is a legit number.
That is 439. I know exactly which ones are going to be very hard for me to lay out because there's so many of them. Batch 5 was a beast. But
yeah,
anyway.
112, yeah.
So... we are working on the 2024 summer edition of Dave Campbell's Texas Football and getting kind of a feel for what we think.
Mm-hmm.
We've got almost a full snapshot of all the information. Obviously, we're still chasing
a few questions. We actually started working on state rankings yesterday.
We did.
A little teaser there.
And so I want to play a little bit of buy or sell with you.
Okay.
I've got a few questions for you, and it's pretty simple. If you agree, you're buying. If you disagree, you're selling.
Okay.
So I've got 5 questions for you. We'll see where you land and maybe if we disagree on a couple of them. We'll start with this. We will have a UIL state title three-peat in 2024.
Buying. Yeah, I'm buying.
A couple of options here.
Several options.
Yes.
We got Duncanville and DeSoto.
Mm-hmm.
Alito.
Gunner. Albany,
yeah. So several options.
And then in the six-man ranks, Benjamin, too.
Yeah.
Benjamin, too. So I think, yeah, the odds are in the favor that at least one of those is going to hit. And especially, here's a spoiler alert. We think Duncanville and DeSoto are both going to be very good again.
Shocking.
We think Alito will probably be pretty good again.
Yeah.
We think Gunner will probably be pretty good again. Mm-hmm. In fact, all of them, I'm trying to think through like our
Albany probably has the most questions.
They got to replace Adam Hill.
Yeah.
They've got a couple of questions there and I would say a little bit of a tougher district too, but like, but I would say that the chances are that at least one of those is going to hit because you've got a lot of different options, which by the way, let's not overlook that. Three-peats are pretty rare. Like
they're rare and they're difficult.
Yeah. They're very difficult. I mean, Gus Franklin about three-peating. You know, there's it's very very difficult. Gus Franklin, North Shore
and Sauk, yeah.
Sauk, North Shore. I mean, there's a lot of programs that get close, but to get over the hump is very very tough. All right, buy or sell? A team that changed classifications at realignment will win a state championship.
Selling that?
Oh,
don't think so.
Okay.
Best shot, does this count? Does changing divisions
count?
Yeah,
we'll count divisions too.
Stratford, I think, is Stratford and there's two in 2A Division II. I think Stratford and Shiner, both dropping from Division I, Division II, probably have a good chance. There's others, I think Highland Park in 5A Division I is going to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
But they got to go through Ryan and Alito potentially. That's going to be tough. 4A Division II, China Spring dropping from Division I to Division II is going to be in the mix. Lorena moving up, it's going to be in the mix, but you still got to go through Carthage and Gilmer.
Yeah, I would add Brock into that mix. You know what I mean? Moving up.
4A Division II is so tough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I would say sell. Not saying it's impossible, but I would sell.
I think I agree with you that the most likely team to do it is probably Stratford or Shiner. It's probably to happen in the small schools because, again, I think that difference between 2A Division I and 2A Division II is pretty clear. It's pretty stark.
Yeah.
And so those would be teams that I would keep an eye on. But I think I agree with you. I think
Bryce Braden is back for Stratford, too. I think he's back for senior season.
A Dudes Rock player of the week.
Yeah.
Bryce Braden.
Yeah.
Dudes Rock. All right. Buy or sell, Matthew, a team will start the year outside the top 10 and play for a state championship.
I'm going to buy that.
Okay.
I think I'm going to buy.
Because there's going to be,
And I think in 5A Division II is where it might happen. Again, I'm big 5A Division II chaos guy. But, 6A Division II, it could happen as well because 6A can get kind of front-loaded with Division I. Teams, and so I think in Division II, you could see a team come out of nowhere in 6A D2. I think I'm going to buy that.
Okay. I want to see, I think I had it last year. I think Summer Creek started the year outside the top 10. I would need to go back and look.
Oh, yeah. I think Summer Creek was definitely
Summer Creek was outside the top 10. Any other, big surprises that made it to state? This is knowable, and I should have done my research.
Smithson Valley was probably top 10.
Yeah, but probably...
Malakoff, Franklin...
Yeah.
Belleville, Gilmer, Chapel Hill, Anna. We were pretty high on Anna.
Belleville was one of those teams that we thought was going to be good, and then
they were kind of bottom of the top. They're 8 or 9, I think. In 2A, 382, Tidehaven was ranked pretty high. Gunner, obviously. Timpson, Toller were highly ranked. 2A D2, Albany, Who did Albany beat in the state championship last year?
Albany beat Martin.
Yeah, so yeah. Summer Creek's probably the one that probably started the year out.
Yeah,
the
they team. Were the one. Yeah. I feel like I have this somewhere. No, I must not have tweeted it. But anyway, all of our teams were all the champions started the year in the top 10 last year. I mean, Anna was 8. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, you know, anyway.
And I think if we'd known what we knew about Anna after State 7-on-7, yes. Watching Zyondre Williams, we probably would have moved them up. We didn't know about Zyondre until how good he was until after we published the magazine.
So. Absolutely. Until 7-on-7.
That's why 7-on-7, people crap on 7-on-7 and stuff like that. That's why it's important.
All right. Matt Stepp, buy or sell, there will be a first time state champion.
Sell.
Okay.
Don't think so. I think we'll have everyone who wins.
The problem is that like a lot of these teams have won one. Like,
yeah,
even,
so
you know
many,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. It's so rare these days to get even like a first time state finalist unless you are like a Summer Creek, like a relatively newish program.
Summer Creek and Timpson last year.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, at least.
I could.
Tidehaven was the first time. No, they weren't. Tidehaven made the state championship.
You know what's funny? I keep going back to 5AD2 because there's a couple there. I think I'm very high on Richmond Randall. I'm very high on Iowa Colony.
Mm-hmm.
There are some
Colleyville Heritage is going to be really, really good next year.
There's some youngish programs because I always like. To me, it's like a lot of
Huntsville's won a state championship. I know Huntsville's played for a state championship, but I'm not sure they've won one. I'd have to double check.
Coppell.
I mean, I talked to Antonio Wiley yesterday.
How are we feeling?
Feeling pretty good. We talked about them. They're playing May 11th in the Arlington SQT.
Okay,
go watch.
Maybe we'll see if we'll see what the status of Cowboy Fight is. We'll see if it is.
I think it's gonna be pretty good.
If it's ever
died,
they're
gonna be pretty good.
We'll see what happens.
Coppell, the returns on Coppell. Yes. I think there is a strong chance the Coppell Cowboys again this year are the best team amongst the DCTF alma maters.
I think Lano's gonna be down. Yeah. Everman will be okay.
They're gonna be down.
They're gonna be down. District's tough. That's right. District's tough. Pleasanton
they lost a lot too.
Pleasanton's down. I think.
Maynard. I think Cedar Park. Yeah.
I'm trying to think through.
Frisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Coppell's gonna.
I think we're carrying the flag.
12-1 last year. That's pretty
salty.
Pretty salty pretty stuff for the Coppell Cowboys, man. Pretty salty.
We'll get to all of that in our special Coppell preseason episode.
We'll do a separate Coppell. Coach Wiley will do a special episode. We'll bring you in.
Full Coppell breakdown. We'll run through the 2-deep. And finally, Matthew.
Oh boy.
Last question.
All right, let's go.
Buy or sell? You will attend. You personally, Matt Stepp, will attend a game between two teams that will finish with 3 or fewer combined wins. So, 2-8 versus 1-9 is a winner.
Yeah.
Right? 0-10 versus 3-7 is a winner.
Now, this may not be late in the season, but early in the year, I pick some. So here's.
I mean, at the end of the day, when we look back.
Yeah, the end of the year.
Yes.
They may be like 1-2 or 0-3 when they play, but then by the end. Yeah. I'll buy. I think there's a chance.
I am buying so hard.
I go to some weird Saturday games.
You
no
do.
Question.
Yes.
So I will get a text or a phone call from you because I post my schedule every week, but during the season we're really busy. I don't think you always, and I say it on Tep and Step, but I don't think it always clicks in. And then like you'll text me on a because you'll see me tweeting from a game on Saturday while you're watching college
just
football.
Just a disgusting
and like,
football
and you're like,
game.
What are you doing?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
You I'm can like, go. We will. We pay you to go to any game in the state.
I like high school football,
and you are at a game in like a city park.
Yeah,
Houston.
Yeah, I've done that.
I remember that.
Houston North Forest. Yeah. It's actually a stadium. It looks like a city park.
You took a photo of it. I'm like, are they playing in like a municipal park?
It looks like it, yeah. There was one game in like Bishop and Taft, I think I went to.
Oh, God.
I'm just like, what are you doing?
And normally, for those who haven't listened to a ton of Tep and Step, hello. Normally, there's a food tie-in. Normally, someone has offered to cook for you. Someone's like
or a tailgate.
Someone's abuela has offered to cook for you. And And you
but
are.
Hey, you gave me crap about that Comanche Brady game.
I did.
And Comanche went 11-2.
Comanche
that year.
Ended up being excellent. Brady, not so much. But you ended
Comanche
up
went 11-2.
Comanche went 11-2.
I was an early adopter of the Comanche Indians.
But
that
you,
year.
But
not because Coach Escobar's grandmother cooked me homemade Mexican food.
Say,
that had nothing to do with it.
I want to be clear that like you didn't go to that game because you're like I got a feeling about Comanche.
Oh, I went because Coach Escobar. Coach Escobar's grandmother promised to cook homemade food. Wouldn't you go?
I would agree with you. So do you now want to? This is actually that. So that rounds out buy or sell. And I want to round out this episode. You've teased this off the top. You want to tell people your week one? Is your week one set?
My week one is set.
Okay.
It is.
You'll hear this again, by the way, on the week one episode of Tep and Step.
And then I'll post my full 11-week schedule later in the year. Week one, Thursday night. You may be joining me for this. There's a good chance he'll be joining me. And maybe Pickle. We'll see about Pickle. I know that week one's tough for her. Thursday night, we are going to Hamilton, Texas.
You're darn right
we are. We're going to pregame at Storms. Storms Burger's great.
Is that the good one?
The good one's in Lampasas. Okay. But she says the Hamilton one's better than the Burnett one.
Okay, got
it. But I think she's biased towards
Burnett. She is biased towards Burnett.
A neutral site game Thursday night in Hamilton as the Frost Polar Bears are taking on the Winter's Blizzards in the weirdest ice bowl game ever.
This is a very
2A Texas high school football game.
I actually texted with Coach McCarty from Winters earlier today, and he brought up he was apparently like the former Hamilton superintendent set this whole thing up. He's like, I want to do a bit.
It's a great bit.
And I'm like,
we're here for that.
What a bit! Like you are singing our song.
We gotta take the swag wagon to that game.
Oh my gosh, we need to do the game on Texan Live.
We gotta find a way to make that happen.
I will. I'll do play by play, and you can be my color man.
I love it. Hamilton for Winters and
Winters
Frost.
And Frost. It's so good. It's going to be 160 degrees.
But the Blizzards are playing.
The Blizzards and the Polar Bears will be playing.
We need Dairy Queen to sponsor us and have Blizzards on the sideline.
DCTF Parkas.
Love it. Friday night, I'm going to go to Godly because Godly is opening up their. Godly
has been pretty good,
and they're playing out in Alvarado.
I'm just thinking about like your first Friday night of the year. It's like, oh man, I want to get that step.
If you have not, go check out artist renderings of Godly's new football stadium.
Oh yeah,
they're opening their brand new stadium that week. That's why I'm going. New stadium. It's incredible.
Okay,
it's like a 4A Melissa type stadium. It's crazy. Google the renderings of Godly's new football stadium. Mm-hmm. Amazing. And it's a good matchup. It's two playoff teams. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Alvarado's going to be pretty good this year, too. They're another potential hipster pick. Keep an eye on Alvarado. Then Saturday, I'll be at the Star. North Crowley versus Lancaster.
Solid. Very, very, very fast.
And indoors.
A very fast.
Air conditioned.
Not like it's going to take a long time. Like
two
not
teams
like
who are fast.
Yeah, two teams that are very fast. Team speed.
That's a 2:00 kickoff at the Star.
Uh-huh.
And then at 7:00, I'm going to mosey my way on up to Melissa. For a Saturday night game in Melissa. That beautiful. I was just at Melissa Saturday for the 7-on-7.
Nightcap.
The 7-on-7 in Melissa went off without a hitch because they have a 120-yard indoor facility. They just played the whole tournament indoors while it was 5 inches of rain going on outside. What a luxury.
As you do.
Melissa is hosting Little Rock Parkview in a I think it's part of the Tom Landry Classic.
So an out-of-state team.
Yeah, and I think
so you can root. Like you can have a
I'll be cheering for Melissa.
You're going to have your pom-poms out,
I'll be the most popular guy on Melissa. Uh-huh. I'll crowd surf on the VIP level. Yeah. Me and Roach. I think Roach is going to come too. We're going to crowd surf on the level below the media level. But right. Parkview I think was a state runner up in Arkansas last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so should be a good game. So excited for that. So yeah, that's my week 1 slate.
By the way, did we just to close the loop on coaching changes. How seriously, like, I know Liberty opened, and I know, you know, when Mama calls, you come running. How seriously, they ended up hiring Cleveland defensive coordinator Keeter Kenton Harrison. Mm-hmm. How seriously did they consider our good friend Hudson Standish?
My reports, my sources have indicated to me that Hudson Standish was a finalist for the position. But they could not come to terms because Hudson could not bring to lunch as his offensive coordinator.
That's a great point.
I'll leave it at that. But that was a deal breaker. To lunch was the deal breaker.
Coming up next episode of Tep and Step, our sleeper episode. So stay tuned for that in a month. That's going to do it for us.
Thanks
for spending a little bit of your day with us. Follow us on Twitter at DCTF. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DaveCampbells. Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/DaveCampbells. See our fine work at texasfootball.com. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next month on Tep and Step.